Hey, Husky fans, it's Evie and Leah back with Pick and Roll, where we're here to talk about a very good and very productive weekend overall on the road for the UW Bones basketball team. Team got did lose to Colorado 68-62, but overall we're not upset about that. We're actually pretty happy, and we'll get more into depth about why. And the team went on to win against Utah 62-47 in their second game. They were in control of the game pretty much the entire time, like very much in control. Utah never got within 9 points. They never gave the lead, obviously. And yeah, with that said, up next, looking a little bit ahead, but up next is the Pac-12 tournament, which starts tomorrow, round one, and UW is the 10 seed. And we play Arizona, who is a 7 seed. So going into Colorado, again, it was a loss, but it was a pretty close loss, especially given what happened last time. It was leaps and bounds better than their stint in Seattle. And they overall did a great job of keeping Colorado's lead on under within 10 points. They did not get within 10, or they didn't let Colorado get above 10 points, maybe 11 at one point, but they did a pretty good job of keeping that under wraps. A little too timid on some plays on offense, in my opinion. Also, there were a couple of too many missed easy shots, especially in the first half. But the main issue was kind of a bit out of the control. In fact, really out of their control was the guard, Maddie Nolan, on Colorado, just cutting up their perimeter defense and just out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, throwing up crazy shots, making crazy shots. She had 20 points overall and six, she went 6 for 7 from the 3-point line. And none of the other players on that team really did anything significant. So that was the main problem. And I honestly think that UW, because we shot better overall, I think it was 45 to 42% overall. And like I said, the other players on that team didn't do anything significant. So I think if it weren't for her, they probably could have won that game.
I
But
totally agree with you. Maddie Nolan coming into that game averaged about 6 points a game, and she scored 20 points in a game where you lose by 12. Or sorry, you lose by six. Yeah, she's the difference in the basketball game. I don't feel like there's a particularly good way to scout that, especially since she's not been a performer that they really expect much of. She's mostly a defensive presence, and sometimes she'll score, but she hasn't been a great offensive producer for the Buffaloes all season. So that kind of surprised the Huskies. But generally speaking, they stayed in close contact with Colorado the whole game. And thinking back to when they played the Buffaloes in Heckhead in Seattle, that was a game the Huskies were never in. And so we said last podcast we were going to be really happy and thrilled even if the Huskies had a close loss against Colorado or even Utah or even both of them, because they got absolutely boat raced in Seattle. So showing improvement of just, we can hang with these kids. They are a really good team, but they're not so much, they're not 25 points better than the Huskies. And we showed that the other night. So I was also impressed with Lele staying out of foul trouble, which she was not able to do in Seattle against the Mountain Schools. Would have liked to seen the Huskies get to the line a little bit more. They got to the line 12 times, making 8 of their shots. Not terrible, not ideal. And ultimately, even if they made all of their shots, they wouldn't have won the basketball game. And then they are working on taking care of the basketball. They turned the ball over 16 times to Colorado 17, and they were able to eke out Colorado in terms of points off turnovers by 2, 11-9. The big story was essentially, like we said, Maddie Nolan had the game of her life, and congrats to her. I think, save for that, the Huskies probably come out with 2 wins in the mountains. But ultimately, I'm not upset about a 6-point loss against a really good team. Colorado, I do think, because they lost their game against the Cougs on Saturday, I think they cost themselves the chance to host, because you have to be in the top 16 to host. And I think that having a loss against the Cougs probably knocked them out of that. So they're going to have to perform well in the Pac-12 tournament to be able to host in the NCAA tournament. So
That's
kind of a
right.
bummer for them.
They did lose. It's funny. We went on to win because I don't know. It's like they won the game, but that was probably still, they were probably expecting to, have it not be that close. And I don't know if that contributed to them just laying an egg against Wazoo, but.
Maybe. I mean, Colorado had, I want to get this right, and I'm probably misquoting, but I feel like they had something like a 6-point lead with 3 minutes to go, and they didn't score another point after that, and Wazoo ended up winning by 9.
Yeah.
It was crazy. They had a crazy finish to their game, and good for Wazoo. Like, they're obviously missing their best player, and I don't usually root for them, but I kind of wanted to see if they could squeak one out in Colorado, and they did. So both teams ended up winning their Saturday games and losing their Friday games, or
Right.
another.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, not upset about that loss. Pretty happy, actually. Like I said, I think we would have won if it weren't for Maddie Nolan just coming out of the blue. And but very, very good loss, I guess you could say, overall.
Absolutely.
Moving on to Utah. So that was just an incredible win on the road and on Utah Senior Day, which sucks for them, but oh well. We had four players. The Huskies had four players in double digits, which was Lauren Schwartz with 18 points, Delay Daniels with 12, Xavier Sellers with 13, and Hannah Steins with 11. So we just went off that game offensively. Well, actually offensively and defensively. Only one of Utah's players, I think, reached double digits. That was Wilk.
Maddie Wilkie.
Yeah, Wilk with 17, and no one else really did anything on that front. So very strong showing, excuse me. Not sure how much criticism I have, if I'm being honest.
I would say the only thing that I would like the Huskies to work on more is when Utah was making their final push in the fourth quarter, they put on a full court press, and Washington's having a real hard time having success getting the ball inbounded against the press in pressure situations. So if the Huskies make the NCAA tournament, which is a long shot at this point, but if they do, they're going to see that. People are going to study that on film, and that's something that the Huskies need to get better at. They called a couple of timeouts. They were able, obviously, to win the game and fairly handily. So ultimately, in this game, it wasn't that big of a concern. But had this been a 5-point game and not a 15-point game, I think we're talking about a slightly different situation and more urgency in terms of what needs to improve. All that said, again, getting to the free throw line is another criticism of just like they played really well and they could have probably gotten more points at the line. But I can't complain about, nearly 51% shooting and 54% 3-point shooting. That's excellent. And then winning the rebounding battle against Utah. Utah has a great front line. They have Alyssa Pealey and Jenna Johnson. They have really scrappy players, and they usually out-rebound folks by 5 to 10. So winning the rebounding war is huge. But again, like starting fast, having confidence in yourself, and like Lauren Schwartz has really been playing excellent in the last 2 weeks of the season, and shooting like 70% from the field, 50% from three. Delea, once again, staying out of foul trouble, understanding that silly fouls are going to be huge in terms of negative for the Huskies, because she got in foul trouble at Heck Ed very quickly and the game got out of hand fast.
Very.
So she's so important. But in terms of just like the best thing that I see is the scrappy team defense that I don't think I saw before. I want to say the Oregon game a couple of weeks ago. I really like that. And I think that Arizona coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, is in for a shock, because I don't think that defense was present in Tucson 3 weeks ago, where the Huskies lost in triple overtime. So it's a great opportunity for the Washington to take the momentum that they currently have and avenge a loss that absolutely should have been a win in regulation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope they keep it up in that game. Very good. But I want to address that technical foul.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
just as background, if you didn't catch the game or you just maybe you were popping in and walked in and saw that Utah essentially had a 6-point play, here's what happened. So, we had We had a 41-24 lead, so huge lead. And they were called on a, UW was called on a shooting foul and a technical foul, and that gave Alyssa Pealy four free throws. She hit three of them, and then because of a technical foul, they get the ball right back, Utah, and they hit a three-pointer. So that's what happened. That was pretty insane. I don't remember the last time I saw something like that where they like it was almost like a 6-point play, kind of. I wasn't very happy with the officiating overall, not just that play, but still that was. I know you have thoughts on this, Leah.
Yeah, well, what happened was that on a loose ball, so hustle play, Tegan's going for the ball, and she's had like I think want to say like four or five dribbles up the left side of the court, and Inés Vieira came up behind her and essentially tried to steal the ball from Tegan. And she came up against Tegan's right side of her body. And almost, I would argue, she ran into Tegan's elbow because Tegan is moving forward and doesn't have a, eyes in the back of her head. She can't see what's coming up behind her. And the girl ran into her elbow. And Tegan was called for a technical foul. And to me, that's an incidental contact and should have been a no call. And instead, like, it wasn't just the free throws, it was, Alyssa Pealy got to shoot four free throws, and then Utah took possession. So it's the Utah taking possession and scoring a subsequent three that I mostly had a problem with. But Washington was that happened in the middle of the third quarter, and it went from 41 to 24, as Evie said, to 41-32 because Washington missed a shot right after Inés scored a three-pointer and Utah got another two. The good news is
You scored, yeah.
after that, we went back and forth for a couple minutes. And when the fourth quarter started, Washington hit another level and Utah couldn't respond. So, but I was really proud of the way the Huskies responded after that garbage call. And it was, I mean, like Utah was trying to make a push no matter how they were going to do it. And unfortunately, they were able to get the refs involved. But once again, like free throws. Just opportunities at the free throw line become a problem for the Washington UW, despite winning by 15 points, shot two free throws, and Utah had 12. And in a closer game, that's going to matter. And Utah found themselves in a situation where they were trying to slow down the game, and they realized that like they had not had very many fouls called against them. And even despite that, they were already down by 10. So free throws, like slowing down the game that way, wasn't going to work for them because Washington usually shoots the free throws at about 70 to sometimes 95%. So not really a great story for them. But all to say that Tegan Brown technical was a garbage call and probably would not get called anywhere but the Pac-12.
Yeah. How do you even prevent, how do you prevent that? Like, she literally had her back turned. Does
Honestly,
technical
her
foul have
form.
to be like obvious, or am I wrong?
I think that's one of those things that you just have to be like, this is a human being making a bad call. And like, I'm not going to coach Tegan to do anything different because she's dribbling up the court using her offhand to protect her body and protect her dribble. That's exactly what you coach. And so that's what's frustrating, probably from Tina Langley's perspective as the coach, and saying, like, she came up behind her, ran into her elbow. And this is exactly the form that you have when you dribble up the court as a guard. So what should I be telling my player if somebody runs into her elbow? And then like later that game, Tegan got a rebound, someone tackled her, and they called it a jump ball. So I think sometimes this is just me having a little bit of conspiracy theory, but I think sometimes the referees know that like, oh, Utah really needs to perform well and needs to get a good seed in the tournament because the Pac-12 will look really good if they do. And losing to Washington will prevent that. I mean, I don't necessarily always think that's true, but I think it's usually teams like Stanford get better calls from the refs. That's been going on for decades. So I was just happy that Washington was able to win on senior day. It's a really emotional day for a lot of kids on senior night, especially in your home gym. And this is probably Utah's last game at home because before their loss to Washington, they were 21-8 and number 18, and you need to be in the top 16, as I said before, about Colorado to host. And so that was probably their last home game.
They probably wouldn't have hosted anyway, though. Not that that matters, but
It would depend on every other teams around the country, but I think if they had a good showing in the Pac-12 tournament,
Yeah.
they could. But I think right now, if you're already kind of on the bubble of hosting, they probably need to be in the Pac-12 championship game to host. And I'm not saying that that's not likely, but it's going to be difficult because this is a very very deep conference, and all wins are precious.
So, wrapping up Utah before I get into Pac-12 stuff, they played tough on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Weren't fazed after that bogus technical foul, which was great. And again, Utah never even got close to sniffing the lead. So I really hope that if they play like they did during that game, I think we should be fine against Arizona. Arizona, I'll be honest, Arizona doesn't, no one really stands out to me on that team when I'm trying to look back on things they did and what players have stood out. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. I couldn't pick out someone who really stood out to me.
They don't have any one
Outing
star.
players. Yeah.
They don't, but they embody the spirit of their coach, who's very scrappy and wants to win no matter how that happens.
That's true.
They had a tough loss at home against UCLA by 20 last week, and then on Thursday last week they lost a game in double overtime at home to SC. But the weekend before that, they went to Maples and beat Stanford by 7 points in regulation. So, like, anything can happen with Arizona. I think that the reason that they're on the bubble of getting into the tournament right now, despite, like, what is their record? Their record is 16 and 14, so basically the same as the Huskies. They don't have as many ranked wins as Washington. So, like, if Washington, I feel like they probably can win two games in the tournament. They're probably in. But if Arizona loses today, or like sorry, to on Wednesday, or if they don't win two games, I don't think that they're in. I think that they don't have as strong of a resume as Washington, because in the last, 2 weeks, Washington has beaten Oregon State in Seattle, and they've beaten, Utah on the road, and they were very close at Colorado, in addition to earlier in the season beating USC, who is still in the top 10. So the Huskies have two top 10 wins under their belt, as well as a top 20 team, which is so like all in the past 6 weeks. And Arizona has, they beat Stanford, the best team in the conference, and congrats, that's great. But they have no other marquee wins. Washington has three. So if we can beat Arizona and essentially knock them out of the tournament, that's another quality win. And even if the Huskies don't make the NCAA tournament, the WNIT is another good learning experience for them, and they can look back on their season and understand exactly why they didn't make the NCAA tournament, because they could have.
I mean, technically they still can, but they would have to win two more games, not just one.
I think to be very safe, I think they should they to be very, very safe, I feel like, if they're in the Pac-12 championship game, in my mind, they're in, because that would have meant that they would have had to beat UCLA and one other ranked team just to get there, which would give them five ranked wins. And that would make them 18 and 13 with five ranked wins. And not many other teams who have that kind of a record can say that with their resume. So to be absolutely safe, win the conference tournament and or like get three wins, because it's going to require four to win the whole thing.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen though. I mean, anything's possible. Probably
Right.
won't happen. Yeah, again, I don't, not sure what to say on Arizona other than what we already brought up, that they're really scrappy. I don't, again, I was looking back on some of their stats from past games, and it just seems like some of the players they have that performed really well in the first time we played them, when we won by 2 points, then they just kind of fell off the second time we played them. And they had other players that, stepped up. Which I guess that could speak to they are, again, their scrappiness overall and the fact that, they can have different players step up, but I really don't know what to expect
Yeah,
from.
I mean, They have a really good multifaceted approach, and they crash the boards hard. They have some really good 3-point shooting on their team, so making sure we don't give up a lot of perimeter shots. They don't have a lot of depth at post, which works in our favor. And in Seattle, they were able to get their Arizona posts in foul trouble early, which was why the Huskies in Seattle were able to develop a big lead, which they then squandered and were able to win the game on a last second shot. So I think one of the keys is going to be making sure they go at Arizona's post players, because if they don't have that, then it's going to be basically perimeter shooting or mid-range shots, which, like, most people cannot win a basketball game on mid-range shooting. You usually have to get some threes, and you have to win points in the paint. So if Washington, by and large, takes away points in the paint, I think that they have an opportunity to do that. Taking care of the basketball is always paramount. Crashing the boards becomes easier if you get kids in foul trouble. So those are the things they need to do really well. Lauren Schwartz has a hot hand. Feed her. Ella Dean is always capable of scoring between 15 and 25 points. Xavier Sellers is turning into essentially money when she's open. Chloe Briggs broke the California State scoring record and has not had a really good shooting season, but she's very capable of having a really good night. So ultimately, I think that we have more weapons and are more well faceted to win this game. And also, there's the factor of they lost a triple overtime game that was very winnable in Arizona. That has to suck. And I'm so glad they get this opportunity to avenge that.
Same here. What's your prediction for this game?
I predict the Huskies win by under 10. I think they're playing their best basketball right now. I think Arizona is also playing really well, but I think honestly Washington will want it more, and now you'll see that in their defense, in their rebounding, and in their way they pass the ball and share the basketball. So getting assists and, taking charges, little things that take the that make. Make it easier to win the game. So that would be my prediction. Some more less than 10, but I would say probably won't come down to the last second.
I agree. I think we'll get a win. And I'd say by 5 points, give or take. So I guess kind of the same thing you're saying, but
I like that.
yeah. I don't see it being a blowout for any team, but like you said, I'm hoping it's not super close like those other games, because that was very stressful, but
Stressful. And you know what? The football team already took years off of my life, so I
it
am
took years
over
off my life.
it. Right? Well, thank you for that. And let's just have a win where we can enjoy it in the last minute of the basketball game.
So that is tomorrow at 6 p.m.
What do
So
you think about who do you think is going to win the whole tournament? I
I
mean,
was just
obviously,
gonna ask
we're
you.
hoping. Obviously, we're hoping the Huskies do, but like, if the Huskies don't, who do you think has the best chance? Which two teams would you say have the best chance?
Or what two teams, or just pick one?
I would do a pick one, and then if you have who do you think is going to come in second place, maybe?
I'm gonna go with UCLA to win the tournament. And they seem to be the only team that hasn't been upset. They might have been upset once or twice, but they seem
Yeah.
to have been the most consistent. Not that I follow UCLA religiously, but the championship game, I think, will be UCLA and, oh crap, this is harder than I thought. I want to say Stanford, but I'll go with Stanford.
Yep, probably a good choice. I like your reasoning. I think that's absolutely sound. It's exactly what I was going to say. The reason being is that UCLA has played Stanford one time this year. And keeping in mind that Lauren Betts used to play for Stanford and she was injured when they played at Maples and Stanford won by 20. Lauren Betts is back. Not sure if she's at 100%, but she's very much back. And since her return, I believe UCLA has lost one game, and that was at Oregon State, who's number 11. It was like a back and forth in the last minute sort of a thing. So UCLA is very well coached, and when they're healthy, they can beat anybody in the country. And with Lauren Betts, 6'8" and shooting like 70-80% from the field, this is why I think it'll be a huge challenge if Washington gets past Arizona. Can they beat UCLA? Not sure. Because when
Probably
we played
not either.
UCLA, yeah, when we played UCLA at Pauley, Lauren Betts wasn't there,
Yeah, exactly.
and we lost by 20.
And we lost by 20. So, oh God.
So all that said, UCLA lost the Pac-12 championship last year to Wazoo in the championship game, and it would be really cool to see Stanford not even in the game, because I think that's healthy for the conference, and also it's the last one, it's the last Pac-12 championship, because then the Pac-12 is going to break up. So I think it's going to be UCLA over Stanford, but it's going to be really close. It's going to be like, it might even go to overtime. I want to say it's going to be like UCLA by three.
Yeah. Okay, one last question or prediction. How realistically, how far do you think the Huskies will go? Like, do you think they'll win this game and then lose the next one? Or do you think there's a good chance we win two or three?
I think Washington has made huge strides defensively, particularly as they guard the post. That the game against Colorado with Erinette Vonleh, who is not only tall, but she's very thick and very difficult to stop. Washington did a garbage job defending her at Heck-Ed, and they did a great job against Erinette Vonleh in Boulder last week. So that said, can they take that, and can they push Lauren Betts off her spot? Can they? Yes. But the other thing that makes UCLA very powerful, especially as you compare it to Colorado, is their perimeter play. And you focus a lot on Lauren Betts, you're probably going to leave folks like Charisma Osborne and London Jones wide open from three. So as much as I'd like to say yes, Washington could beat Arizona and UCLA, I think it's very unlikely. But given how this team is performing lately, I wouldn't be the most surprised. I think that UCLA probably wins by 10 against Washington if they beat Arizona, if the Huskies get that win.
So we would be playing them most likely in third round or
Second round.
second round. Okay, so UCLA in the second round. Oh, okay. So that probably means we'll only win one game. Probably. I'm not saying we won't.
Probably, which again, like that's. It's not great, but it's also better than 0 wins, which is what like the last 2 years of the Langley era. So if we can get Arizona, that's great. And it positions us to control our own destiny to get into the NCAA tournament. Because if you beat UCLA, you probably still need to win one more game. But having a top 10 win is another great thing for you for your resume. So just control your controllables and get past Arizona first, and then worry about UCLA.
Exactly. Get past
Frankly, UCLA should be worried about Washington, because they can see that Washington has upset Oregon State and Utah on the road.
Yeah,
And
very true.
remembering that UCLA lost to Utah on the road and Washington beat them. So
Oh, they did.
UCLA, they did. So UCLA should be very worried about Washington. UCLA, once again, we talked about this last week, teams that are highly ranked have all the pressure on them. Like, they're the ones who need the seeding. Washington's just trying to get in. They're not going to host. They're just going to play their best and see if they can play spoiler. UCLA, all those other teams, the highly ranked ones, they're the ones who are like have things to worry about right now. The bottom six are just they're just there for funsies and trying to see if they can get in. So,
It would be really cool if it could get in though, because so many
yeah.
teams have like, if you just get in, you can have like the whole Cinderella story thing, you know, which happens a lot, but not,
Does
I don't know.
it does I mean, what Washington State's gotten in the last 2 years, and even as like a favored seed, and they still haven't been able to they have never won a game in the NCAA tournament. So
Yeah, that's true. I honestly forgot they got in last year, but they did win the, so that makes sense. But they didn't really do anything, right? Did they lose
no,
this round?
they lost in the first round last year and the year before.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I
But
didn't
they did
remember.
make it, and Washington didn't. So we need to get in.
Yeah, we do. We do. Okay, well, first step is beating Arizona tomorrow. So
Right.
anyways, thanks everyone for listening. This is Evie Mason and Ida Blia, and go dogs.
No dogs, bow down beats bear down.